From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome to Let the Bible Speak. In just a few minutes, you'll hear a message from God's Word brought by Dr. Alan Cairns, the Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. For many weeks, Dr. Cairns has been studying the life and earthly ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ as recorded in the Gospels. Now we have come to the most solemn hours in the Savior's earthly existence, the indescribable sufferings of the cross. In seeking to penetrate the Stygian darkness of that awful scene, Dr. Cairns asks and seeks to answer the questions of what Christ suffered, why Christ suffered, and how Christ suffered. In a few minutes, we'll hear the introduction to a message entitled, In Agonies and Blood. First, however, Dr. Cairns brings today's hot topic, more bogus Virgin Mary visions.
You thought that charismatic TV evangelists had a corner in bogus schemes to filch people's hard-earned money out of their pockets. You thought that they were the great exponents of bogus visions and strange apparitions. Those TV charlatans deserve to be exposed for how they have made merchandise of the gospel, but in many ways, they're mere beginners at the game. The real experts in reeling people in with false claims and bogus visions are the Pope and his cohorts. For centuries, they have beguiled unwary souls with empty claims of appearances of the Virgin Mary. They have made millions out of useless pilgrimages. They have plied a lucrative trade in useless relics. And if interest seems to be waning, they can always come up with some new apparition or vision or miracle or whatever. Listen to this. Between 1664 and 1718, a girl who lived in the French Alps by the name of Benoît Roncarel claimed to have received visitations from the Virgin Mary. That is, from she was 17 until she was 71 years old. She claimed that the Virgin appeared to her every day for 4 months in 1664, instructing her to build a church and a house to receive priests. All that took place back in the 17th century. So, why raise it today? Here's why. A few weeks ago, Monsignor Jean-Michel de Falco Leandri spoke at a mass that was broadcast nationally on France 2 television and announced that he recognized the supernatural origin of the apparitions to Benoît Roncarel. In an interview on France Info Radio, the bishop said the decision meant the church, quotes, has committed itself in an official way to say to pilgrims, you can come here in total confidence. Close the quote. He reported that the recognition process involved a panel of experts, including two theologians and an investigating judge. Today, the sanctuary that Roncarel founded welcomes about 120,000 pilgrims a year. Some of them go there in the hope of receiving healing oils based on a method that the Virgin Mary was said to pass on to the Alpine shepherd girl. By adding it to the official list of alleged genuine appearances of the Virgin Mary, the Church of Rome has made sure to multiply those numbers and the revenues the pilgrims will bring. I must confess that I know nothing about Benoît Roncarel. I have no idea if she was devout or deranged or both. What I do know is that the Bible does not traffic in occult appearances, and that the claimed visitation by the Virgin Mary is a farce. Yet Rome has now officially recognized Roncarelli's claimed visions as genuine, after almost 300 years no less. You can come here in total confidence, Rome is telling its deluded pilgrims. Come for what? Have confidence in what? Does she mean that pilgrims will receive an indulgence or some needed grace? Does she mean that Mary will somehow do them good? If so, she is as guilty as the worst charismatic charlatans who disgrace so-called Christian television. Forget about running after Mary for some imagined spiritual benefit. The only mediator between God and man, the only channel of divine blessing for needy souls, is the Lord Jesus Christ. And you'll not find him at Benoit Roncarelli's sanctuary.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We want to say that we're greatly encouraged by the response of you, our listeners, to these broadcasts. We appreciate the letters, the emails, the phone calls that we've received from so many of you, some wanting to say thank you and telling us how much the Lord has blessed your heart with His Word, some speaking of life-changing experiences found through the preaching of the gospel. Some have written to ask for the literature that we offer here on the program. We want to remind you of the Let the Bible Speak audio magazine. This is in CD or cassette form and is similar in content to the Let the Bible Speak quarterly magazine. containing some of the articles of great spiritual interest as well as sacred music that will point you to the Lord Jesus Christ. You may have a copy of Let the Bible Speak audio magazine simply by writing to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Again, that's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Also, if you enjoy the program, you may like to join us on our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget that little word radio, ltbsradio.com. We hope to hear from you and that you'll join us on our website this week.
Verse 26 of Matthew 27. Then released he Barabbas unto them. And when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the common hall, and gathered unto him the whole band of soldiers. And they stripped him, and put on him a scarlet robe. And when they had plaited a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head, and a reed in his right hand. And they bowed the knee before him, and mocked him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews! And they spit upon him, and took the reed, and smote him on the head. And after that they had mocked him, they took the robe off from him, and put his own raiment on him and led him away to crucify him. And as they came out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name. Him they compelled to bear his cross. And when they were come unto a place called Golgotha, that is to say, a place of a skull, they gave him vinegar to drink mingled with gall. And when he had tasted thereof, he would not drink. And they crucified him, and parted his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, they parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots. And sitting down, they watched him there, and set up over his head his accusation written, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." Then were there two thieves crucified with him, one on the right hand, and another on the left. And they that passed by reviled him, wagging their heads and saying, "Thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself. If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross." Likewise also the chief priests, mocking him with the scribes and elders, said, "He saved others, himself he cannot save. If he be the King of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe him. He trusted in God, let him deliver him now, if he will have him. For he said, 'I am the Son of God.'" The thieves also which were crucified with him cast the same in his teeth. Now, from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land unto the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani?" That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Some of them that stood there, when they heard that, said, "This man calleth for Elias." And straightway one of them ran and took a sponge and filled it with vinegar and put it on a reed and gave him to drink. The rest said, "Let be. Let us see whether Elias will come to save him." Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. Amen. The Lord will add his blessing to this familiar passage from his own precious word for his name's sake. Dorothy Sayers, the English novelist, expert in ancient languages and a Church of England theologian, said, "It's curious that people who are horrified with indignation whenever a cat kills a sparrow can hear the story of the killing of God told Sunday after Sunday and not experience any shock at all." I think she had a point. And yet, as I was thinking, my mind turned to John Newton. Surely this is a point that John Newton could not personally have appreciated, because he never wandered far from the cross. You remember the words of his famous hymn, "In evil long I took delight, unawed by shame or fear, till a new object struck my sight and stopped my wild career." Then he describes that new object. I saw one hanging on a tree in agonies and blood. He fixed his languid eyes on me as near the cross I stood. The agonies and blood made Calvary a shocking sight for John Newton, but a sight that had a magnetic power over him and drew him constantly to behold the man of Calvary. This Sabbath morning, it is to this shocking sight that I want us to turn. And I must confess that I turn to it with fear and trembling at our own Laodicean orthodoxy. Let that sink in. The church at Laodicea was orthodox. There's not a word that I have read this morning that any one of us, I think, would dispute or deny. When it comes to the details of the sufferings and agonies of the Lord Jesus Christ, we believe it all. We're as orthodox as we can possibly be. But oh, I fear that Laodicean spirit that is neither cold nor hot, that overcome with its own lukewarmness due entirely to a worldly spirit that is so taken up with the riches and the pleasures and the luxuries and the ease of this present age is largely unmoved by the very things that we believe. With a fear of that Laodicean orthodoxy in my own heart as well as yours, we come to this passage this morning. I trust that God will make us shake with a different kind of fear, make us tremble with true emotion as we see Him who suffered the just for the unjust, that He might bring us to God. W.G.T. Shedd, the great Presbyterian theologian of the last century, well, the century before the last now, said that the essence of atonement is suffering. So insofar as we can penetrate the sufferings of Christ, insofar as we can contemplate the sufferings of the Redeemer, to that extent will we be able to enter in to the mystery of our redemption by His blood. Now remember that the cross of shame and its suffering victim is the centerpiece of the entire purposes of God for this world. This is the very heart. It's not on the periphery. It's not a minor thing. It is the very heart of the entire divine revelation. When you turn to the Old Testament, you find that it is full of prophecies concerning the sufferings of Christ. And it is interesting that the Old Testament actually gives us greater detail of the physical aspects of the sufferings of Christ than the New Testament does. The four Gospels describe those sufferings in language that are at the same time restrained and yet revealing. The Acts of the Apostles and the Epistles of the Apostles expound the same thing, making the blood of Christ the price of our redemption. And of course, the final book of the Bible, the book of the Revelation of Jesus Christ, describes how the praises of heaven center on the worship of the Lamb as choirs of the redeemed join with the angels in magnifying and celebrating the precious blood that He shed at Calvary's center cross. So there is no greater theme this morning that we may possibly contemplate than the theme of Calvary's sufferings. Martin Luther said, "The cross alone is our theology." The cross alone is our theology. There is no more moving contemplation. There is no place on earth where we can enter more fully into the truth of God. And so today I want you to try to join me as we seek to go alongside old John Newton and see, not with some carnal sight, but with the spiritual eyes of the soul, with the eyes of faith that will move us and make us what we ought to be for God, see one hanging on a tree in agonies and in blood.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We are here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at faithfpc@freepres.org. That's faithfpc@freepres.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.freepres.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free, 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us once again as we let the Bible speak.